This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
Divisional round of the playoffs has come and gone. I believe the word for it is chalk. All the favorites win for the second time in 4 years. We have both conference championship games, which are 1 versus 2 seed. And all four of these teams, well, they're the top four scoring offenses in the league, Dave. 3 games weren't great. 1 was pretty darn good. That Eagles-Saints game was a good game. What conclusions did you draw from this weekend?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's just going to be one of those. I wonder if it's going to be an anomaly year that everybody freaks out over. Because the only stats, if you look at regular season stats, the only top 10, New England is number 7 defensively in scoring. They allow 20 points a game, but there's no top 10 yardage defenses. There's no top 10 pass defenses. New Orleans is number 2 in run defense, but they also had a plus 151 point differential. So, you know, teams are not running against them. And same thing with Chicago, by the way. They were plus 138. They were number 1 against the run. But, you know, but the run game. The run game is in there. I mean, you got the Rams are number 3, Pats number 5, Saints number 6, Chiefs are number 16. But, you know, the run game, I think, holds true. But defensively, no, you're just not seeing it this year. And, yeah, it was kind of boring until I started to think about the matchups. You know, and I think people will be interested if it's the Chiefs and the Rams just because of that Monday night game. It was 54-51. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, the – what was the most boring game to you guys?
The first one yesterday.
Yeah, Chargers.
Chargers looked like they quit.
It was terrible.
They quit.
Well, I
don't care.
They were down
35-7,
Jim. What did you expect from them at that point?
Some fight.
Win one for the backdoor cover?
Well, yeah, they were good in garbage time. I mean, they.
How about some pride?
But yeah. There was just.
Personal pride.
I mean, okay, you can look back on it and go, yeah, well, okay, 2 cross-country trips, 10 o'clock game, all these things we talked about, but. Yeah, let's see something. You couldn't get Tom Brady off the field one single time on 3rd down.
Do you think it was human nature?
I think there's some human nature at play there.
And how then is also, that possible? It's the playoffs.
Well, it's
no, they got waxed.
Yeah,
their defense got eviscerated.
I'm so sick of Tom Brady, I could scream. You know, I mean,
at least you didn't pick him in the smoking lock.
Yeah, you know, part of my bitterness is because I had a futures ticket on the Chargers to go all the way, and they just didn't even put up a fight. And I like Philip Rivers, as I've said a bunch of times, and Brady, I just thought, okay, he's 41. This is going to be a time. I know about the home record and everything, but they just flattened him. Completely flatten them. The only thing good about it was that everybody was able to get out and do something in the sunshine before the next game started.
I think the most discouraging thing was that the Rams were able to rush for 273 yards, which is, by the way, is exactly the number of yardage that the Seahawks ran for against them in that second game down in the Coliseum. So, because Dallas's defensive line manhandled the Seahawks. Now, there was some confusion, but also they just played better. And then for them to get run on was kind of discouraging. And, look, I felt like if the Seahawks got in that game, they weren't going to win. You know, not this year. Not this year. I mean, next year, hopefully, if they get run defense, you know, sort of sewed up. But I felt like it would have been a similar result.
Well, we decided to start this show by taking a look at what we learned over the weekend, and we're going to do this by co-opting our own stuff. We're going to copy from ourselves.
Plagiarizing ourselves.
I would say adapting or we're remixing. That's okay. What people would call it. We're going to take what we do at the end of the show, and we're going to start it here at the beginning because we're going to find out what we learned over the weekend.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
You know what makes me happy? The sound of that.
Does that mean the show's over?
Earlier, what is one thing that makes me happy? Yeah. When we do what we learned, and I hear that, it's great to learn. Who is that, Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's from Family Guy.
Oh, is it?
It is?
I thought it was Homer.
No, it's some guy, some ornithologist at a chicken restaurant.
Ornithologist?
Yes.
Studier of birds?
What, he's a
yes.
Collector of stamps?
And he's ironically eating at an all-chicken restaurant.
No kidding. Is that cannibalism? No?
No.
Because he's not an actual bird himself. He just studies the birds. We start out with the first thing we learned, which is there's no such thing as a sure kicker.
The age of 46. Oh, and he hits the upright.
Doink!
of all things. Wow, down the field they go, trying to cut it to a two-possession lead. And folks, we have seen this before.
I would say that was discouraging, but we're all in this together. All 32 teams are in this. You have no idea what's going on with kickers right now.
Which game was that one again?
That was the
Colts.
The Colts.
It's the smoking lock of the week.
Adam Vinatieri hit the upright.
Wait, I thought you had San Diego. Oh, you took the Colts.
I took the Colts. Nothing made sense.
Vinatieri
over the weekend.
Hit the upright. He was 70. First of all, he missed a PAT.
Yes, he did.
He was 70 for 70 in the playoffs.
On PATs.
On PATs. And also that kick that he missed is the shortest kick that he has ever missed in his 20-year career. A 23-yard field goal he missed, and that's the shortest kick he's ever missed in a 20-year career. So, you know, we were talking about Adam Vinatieri and how do you get a guy like that last week. Now, you know, after that, I mean, I just feel like there's something wrong in the universe. Is there something, like,
Are you sympathizing with kickers?
No, I'm sympathizing with all the NFL teams that can't find a reliable one because there are none.
Well, I was
no such animal exists.
Man, you can't even make a Today Show appearance without catching heat. You see that? I couldn't believe that. I went to NFL.com and I checked out the side, the stories there, and the Bears are upset with Cody Parkey for making a Today Show appearance. And all he said was, "Hey, I feel really bad about what happened, and sorry I missed the kick." And then Matt Nagy comes out and he's all upset at him. I still don't know why, because he says we win as a team and we lose as a team. And he felt like that was more of a me thing than a we thing.
As awesome as it is to hear you summarize all of that.
I can't believe that.
As great as it is to hear you quote and repeat the words other people said, is there at any point you thought, like, hey, why don't we go get the sound of them actually saying that?
I just looked at it about 5 minutes ago.
Here's Cody Parkey on the Today Show.
As a kicker, you know, you live for those moments. And I was, like you said, I was 3 for 3 before that. I had a lot of confidence going into that kick. So I went out there, and my long snapper and holder did a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw the wind moving a little bit. I said, all right, this is where I'm going to play it. And obviously, I didn't know it was tipped or anything. I just went down, and I thought I hit a pretty good kick. You know, felt good off my foot, and then looking up, and then I saw it hit the upright and then hit the crossbar, and I'm like, surely it'll go in. unfortunately, bounced towards me, but obviously I'm disappointed. I let the fans, my teammates, and the whole organization down, but I'll continue to keep my head held high because football is what I do. It's not who I am.
I'm sorry. I'm with Matt Nagy on this one.
Why?
What? Let's sit around
what
and
was wrong with
around
that?
About it. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah.
No, he wasn't laughing, though.
He sounded kind of upbeat to me. I think he should pull a Luke Wilson and go into his basement and play video games and drink champagne for 2 weeks.
I want Cody Parkey here. I want him as the Seahawks' next kicker.
Because you want a loser.
No, I don't. I think he's going to be a winner. I can't believe that Nagy came
Sounds
down
like
so
a
hard on
smoking lock.
What the hell? Why would he get so mad about a Today Show appearance?
Here's Matt Nagy and what he said about it when asked about that Today Show appearance today.
We always talk about a we and not a me thing. And we always talk as a team. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that was too much of a we thing.
Oh, come on. I hope he disagrees
with you.
I hope he loses Coach of the Year just because of those comments.
Well, the voting's already in. And
oh, is it?
I don't think his attitude toward the kicker would cost him anything.
Well, that's a me thing if you win Coach of the Year, isn't it?
If he cheerfully went on the Today Show and talked about it, yeah, I was Coach of the Year. Wasn't that great? Well, we just lost, Coach. then you could say that, but I don't know. He was, to me, I'm totally with Nagy. What about if you're a D lineman or an O lineman on that? You'd probably just want to pinch his head off.
It's funny because when I hear what Cody Parkey said, and I end up feeling that there's no way anybody can begrudge him trying to make the most out of an awful moment. That he's trying to show that, hey, I'm able to be resilient
Too
and
soon.
To go on and talk about it.
Too soon.
Okay, well, how do you feel about Alshon Jeffrey then? How is that any different? What happened to him yet? Because I feel bad for that kid.
Did he go on the Today Show and laugh it up and yuck it up with all the hosts? Did he do that?
But he wasn't yucking it up. The kicker wasn't yucking it up.
It sounded like
play
it to
it again.
All right. Here's
the women that were on the show were laughing.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Coba or Colda or whatever the heck her name
Hoda.
Is. Hoda.
Hoda.
Was she drinking wine?
I think her name's Hoda.
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 Okay.
Here comes Cody Parkey with Hoda.
as a kicker, you know, you live for those moments. And I was, like you said, I was 3 for 3 before that. I had a lot of confidence going into that kick. So I went out there, and my long snapper and holder did a great job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw the wind moving a little bit. I said, all right, this is where I'm going to play it. And obviously, I didn't know it was tipped or anything. I just went down, and I thought I hit a pretty good kick. You know, felt good off my foot. And then looking up, and then I saw it hit the upright, and I hit the crossbar. And I'm like, surely it'll go in. unfortunately, bounced towards me. But obviously, I'm disappointed. That I let the fans, my teammates, and the whole organization down. But I'll continue to keep my head held high because football is what I do. It's not who I am.
Too soon. Too soon. You know what? If you'd have gone on there and gone, it was a good hold. I have myself to blame for this. I just feel terrible about letting my, but no, it was like, yeah, it was a pretty good hold, and you know, I got into it.
He didn't sound like that. He didn't sound like that to me.
Totally
did. And
Savannah,
that kick was tipped.
Yeah.
Savannah Guthrie, by the way, is the host of today.
Oh, it's not Hoda?
No, that's a separate segment that she and Kathy Lee did or still do.
I have no understanding of the inner workings of that show at all.
I know Matt Lauer's not on it anymore.
That's true.
I do know that.
I saw a couple weeks ago where he poked his head up again. He's like, hey, can I work again yet? And everybody's like, no! Hey, no, you can't!
What if Matt Lauer came on there and went, yeah, you know, I had a sexual harassment thing going there, and, you know, it was the wrong thing to do, and, yeah.
You took it differently than I did. I didn't hear that tone at all. The laughter came in while he was talking.
All right.
What did he say that was so funny?
It wasn't funny.
That's
but
what he should have said to them. What are you laughing at?
I don't know.
This sucks.
All right. So you don't want Cody Parkey here because it sounds like Matt Nagy. I mean, he wants to get better at that position. So Parkey's going to be on his way out even though they're going to cut him.
That probably sounds like it's going to be the case. Let me be on the record. I don't want the guy that missed more kicks than any other kicker in the league last year. No thanks.
Was he worse than Seabass?
Yes, he missed 10 kicks total between PATs and field goals, the most of any kicker in the league.
Okay, you could look at it this way, though. There's no way that he would hit that many uprights next year. No way you're going to hit six uprights.
Isn't that what you would have told yourself about Blair Walsh?
Do you want
isn't that the line of thinking that led to Blair Walsh? And I was fully for the Blair Walsh thinking that he's going to get back to who he was.
Sometimes, I wasn't on board with Walsh.
Well, why would you be on board with Parkey then?
I don't know. I think it takes a special skill to hit the damn upright, doesn't it? I mean, you could stand out there and kick 100 balls and say, I'm going to try and hit the upright, and you wouldn't be able to do it. I think that's an anomaly.
Because you're not supposed to.
I don't think it would happen again. I'm just saying, bring him in.
You don't want to hit it.
Bring him in. You got kicking, ficking. You got to have just a parade of kickers here. And make it in training camp, make it a competition.
Well, the good news about Cody Parkey is if he misses a field goal for you, he's not going to stew in misery afterwards.
Like,
yeah, he'll be yucking it up. Hey, is there a morning show here in Seattle that I can go on and yuck it up with the gals?
The second thing we learned is that the Seahawks, had they won in Dallas, they might have been walking into a buzzsaw.
Gurley gets the carry, bursts up the middle at the 30-yard line, turns left to the 20, and turns on the speed at the 10, across the 5, and he shrugs off a tackle from Awuzie into the end zone for the touchdown. Todd Gurley, 35 yards. The knee looking just fine as the Rams take a 19-7 lead.
There was, after watching that game, I no longer cared how the Eagles did. I didn't care if the Eagles won, and that meant that the Seahawks could have hosted the division, the NFC Championship game, because they weren't beating the Rams. Not the way the Rams played Saturday night.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too. I felt like it's not this year. Not this year, anyway. They had a very good chance to beat the Cowboys. And, you know, the thing is with the Rams, I mean, they had a very good chance to beat them in both the games that they played. But, yeah, the way they took it to Dallas, I didn't think that there was much of a chance for them.
How do you explain what happened in that game? Because I was sitting there watching it going, now wait a minute, this Dallas team that just completely shut down the Seattle run game is allowing these guys to just go left and right, vertical, do whatever they wanted, and maybe it was different run concepts or whatever, but for 273 yards, and last week, what'd Seattle get against them, 50 or something?
Yeah,
it wasn't much, and they had the top running game in the league, and then to see a Dallas team like that. And C.J. Anderson,
how about him? Man?
He's been waived twice this year, once by the Raiders and once by the Broncos, and he shows up in L.A. and all of a sudden, I mean, the guy looks overweight, but boy, what a load.
That was one of the more inexplicable things. C.J. Anderson, you see he's 5'8"?
Yeah.
He's 5'8", and you saw his gut.
Yeah.
On the, you know, not that any of us should be pointing fingers, but man.
He is the second coming of Mike Tolbert. Remember him?
The fat kid.
From Carolina, that's
right. Yeah, he's the fat kid. I got in trouble for calling him that on the air.
Did you?
Yeah. That was amazing. Also, how about Kansas City's defense?
Kansas City's defense played well.
They were the worst.
How do you make sense of that? That the Colts were the best team in the league with third down conversions?
Yeah.
And they went 0 for 10.
They got hammered.
It was a smoking lock. I love the Colts.
Yeah.
I still like the Colts.
Bet
with both hands on the Colts.
Where's that horseshoe?
Oh, man. I was so frustrated watching that game. And I like Mahomes. And I just told myself, well, that, you dummy. Why'd you bet against Patrick Mahomes? The way he was, it was almost like he was at second base, just kind of flinging him home. And
oh, man, he's amazing. Did you see the roughing the kicker in that call, in that game?
Is that the one where it looked like they didn't even hit him?
He didn't touch him.
Yeah, the radio call said he didn't touch him.
He
at
did
all.
Not touch him. And then when he came down, I'm like, oh, are they calling it because is the punter entitled to a clear path to
That's
land?
Correct. He has to land.
Are you sure about that?
Fairly certain.
What if the guy kicks his leg off to the side and makes himself fall down? I thought that was ridiculous.
Huh. I'm not sure about that.
Because he did not. Anyway,
he embellished it.
It's no
for
big
sure.
deal.
He did embellish it, certainly.
We'll talk about the officiating later, but I thought that was strange.
You asked, how could that have happened? How could the Rams have run for so many yards against a Cowboys defense that was so stout? Two Rams linemen did say that they had an idea when the Cowboys were going to stunt. This is John Sullivan saying that when Malik Collins, something about how much he shaded outside the guard, told them whether they were going to run a stunt or not, which is interesting. I guess it's the football equivalent of tipping your pitches. Does that ever happen, Dave?
Sure. Yeah, you know, you listen to Bobby and KJ talk about that all the time. That's what, to me, the fly sweep. I mean, there are certain movements and the timing and everything that you can tell when it's a fake. And, you know, I think if you study enough film. But, yeah, Bobby and KJ talk about that stuff all the time, and good for them. You know, and that's the thing where you got to come in and self-scout. You got to go, okay, when we're running these, are we lining up in the same position every time? And, you know, kudos to that Ram offensive line. They looked a lot better than I thought they were. I mean, they played well together, but it's not like they're a bunch of ass kickers. You look at Whitworth.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looks like an old man. You know who he looks like? He looks exactly like John Howie.
You're right.
Does he?
He totally
yes.
does. Yeah, he looks like Chef John Howie.
Yeah, and I think he's around my age, and that's what Whitworth looks like. Yeah, and they just put it together, though, and they've been disciplined, so the offensive line coach down there and McVay have done a great job with that offense.
This last one, the last thing we learned from over the weekend, it involves, well, Jessamine pointed this out. Are you ready for the underdog Patriots?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win
Nobody
any games,
thinks that.
So we'll see. It'll be fun.
I was waiting for you to mention that. Thanks a lot and good luck. We'll see you next week.
Nobody thinks that. Shut up, Tom.
Was that your boy there? Yeah.
I don't have a boy.
That's your boy.
Jess, between having to listen to Tom Brady talk about how everybody underestimates the Patriots and having a coach whose eyes appeared as if they
were... Is he going to complain about not having a hot wife now, too?
Nobody thinks my wife's good looking.
Yeah, sitting there calling my wife ugly,
People
all
think
these
I'm
other
poor.
Insults. It's Danny David Moore. Time for us to take two.
Take two. UW basketball sweeps Utah and Colorado over their last road trip looking good.
Who was that was saying David Crisp can't shoot?
Who? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to having him on the show. We're trying to get David Crisp as a guest, and I want you to come clean with him. You think you can do that before I throw you under the bus?
You're bringing him on so you can tell him what?
I think David Crisp would be a good guest right now because he's been playing really well. He's been shooting from outside. There are people who don't think that he can hit from the perimeter, and he's proven them wrong in the last three games.
This is a very likable team here.
I would agree with you.
I love Mike Hopkins. Matisse Thybulle, you guys remember talking to him last year?
He's fantastic.
Fantastic kid with the steals, and I think he's averaging 9 points a game, but he just is all over the place, that kid.
I know I'm laughing because when I didn't know that he was from East Lake in the Sammamish Plateau, I actually thought he was like a transfer student from France or
from
something.
France.
But yeah, the guy, I mean, the team looks great, and this is a good year to be very good, if maybe not a great team, but We know what the Pac-12, what's going on there. I'm pulling for the Beavs. I think the Beavs are going to be right there in the end.
Beavs pulled off a big win.
Yeah, the Tinkles down there, they're doing a good job.
Tinkles upset UCLA doing a really good yesterday. Job.
All three of them.
See, Raj, wasn't Oregon supposed to be like one of the top?
Yeah, Oregon was supposed to be a possible Final Four team, really. But Bull Bull's injuries really depleted them, and then they've had a tough time really implementing anybody.
They had a tough time beating Texas Southern.
Yeah, they lost at home to Oregon State. They lost at home to UCLA as well, and then they just snuck by USC. And then USC's got their own issues. Kevin Porter Jr. suspended indefinitely.
Correct, and that's over some sort of difference, something he did with the team, it sounded like, behavior?
Yeah, it sounded like it's a...
Andy Enfield did not appreciate something that Kevin Porter Jr. did. Two best players in the conference. One's hurt, that's Bull Bull. He's not going to play again this year.
He's out for the year.
And then you got Kevin Porter Jr. We're not sure when he's going to play again.
Got Robert Franks coming back in Pullman, though, this Thursday against the Golden Bears.
Yeah, how's that going to go?
Well, it can't go any worse than what it's
Cal
gone
might be worse than the Cougs.
Cal's terrible.
They're really bad. They lost by 30 at home to Arizona.
If we lose to Cal, we're going to run the table. It's 0 for 18. Yeah, it's going to happen.
You're declaring that already?
Oh, yeah. If you lose to Cal with Franks coming back, you've got the worst team, hands down.
Eastern Washington, former Eastern Washington quarterback Gage Gabrud's name is in the transfer portal and reportedly considering Wazoo.
Hold on. Transfer portal!
Where's Jalen Hurts going?
Jalen Hurts? I don't think we know yet.
Sounds like Miami or Maryland.
Jalen Hurts is a terrible option for Wazoo. He'd have to sit out a year. You're not going to be able to play next year.
I thought when you're in that transfer portal, you could be...
No, you can switch. That doesn't mean that you can play right away, though.
Oh, okay.
So he's trying to... Gabrud is trying to get his red shirt.
Is that what it is? He needs his red shirt, but he just needs to get his degree, and then he can transfer and play right away, the same as Minshew did, the same as Russell Wilson did.
Can we get Cooper Kupp, too?
No, he's already professional. Yeah, he's
2016, he had a really good year. And I know that offense promotes that, but he threw for 5,100 yards, 48 touchdowns, and he was 68% completion percentage. But last year, he was out after the first month.
All right, you want to hear the beta male perspective on this? What do you think of this? Do you like this whole grad transfer thing? Because I'm wondering if long-term, if you're a quarterback in high school who's considering going to Washington State, if you think... Well, wait a minute. I'm going to go there in red shirt, and then they're going to keep bringing these guys in.
You know, when I look at it from the standpoint of like a quarterback, and I guess it could be like that in any position, I can understand why you would want to do that. Let's say you're brought in, you're the best, you know, quarterback in the league, or in the country or whatever, and then all of a sudden the next year some phenom comes in and he becomes the guy. You got to sit there when you could actually play somewhere else. And after you've made this, 4-year commitment? Yeah, I'm glad that they're allowing players to get into the portal.
And the other idea is that if you do everything right and you get your degree, you're able to go and play your final year somewhere else.
Right.
That it's not that, hey, I just need another year to play somewhere. You have to have already gotten your degree.
Which is a good criteria, right?
I used to rip on it when Oregon did it. Like with Adams, the kid from Eastern, I didn't like it then. But all these other stories I think are awesome. I just don't think we should let Oregon do it.
Oh, okay. Only Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's forbidden from doing it. Everybody else, I think it adds to the excitement. Did you like having Gardner Minshew? That was a heck of a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it. I was thinking about Tinsley and Cooper over there thinking, okay, now it's going to be our turn. And then, oh, wait a minute, we're getting this kid from Cheney. And so maybe you sit there and go, well, it's all about competition and go ahead. It's going to make the team stronger. But I just was pausing and thinking about the long-term ramifications of that.
There's one call this weekend. There's one call this weekend that made Dave Wyman worry for the future of football. I'm sure it has to do with the penalty. We'll find out what it is next on Danny, Dave, and Moore.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. It's fun to watch the games over the weekend. I did enjoy sort of the pure observational, like you're completely a spectator with the Seahawks being out. And it's interesting to watch the games that way. I realized I wanted the Chargers to win. That's who I was rooting for. But I really enjoyed watching Philip Rivers lose his mind. Like seeing him yell at people.
He loses his mind, win or lose.
Yeah, it's pretty fun when he's losing, though, and he starts screaming at his offensive linemen. Like, he's one of the last guys in the league that really will just holler at his offensive lineman.
Who's that?
Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. Brady sometimes will get a little bit angry, but you're right. But no cursing.
Yeah, apparently no cursing.
Yeah, no cursing.
It makes me more suspicious.
Yeah, you know, I saw him, like, kind of getting at after the refs a couple of times,
yeah.
too. So, yeah, and he's a feisty guy, you know. I feel bad for him. He's one of those players that you think, man, that guy should be in the playoffs, and he should maybe, you know, have a Super Bowl appearance. You know, yeah. I always felt that way about Steve Largent. I always felt bad for him, you know. And, you know, and some of the good players with the Broncos that, you know, they actually made it, but, you know, they got blown out.
There was one thing that happened this weekend, Dave, and I'm not even sure which play this is. There's one penalty. Which game was it from?
Well, there's a few here, and it was just kind of building up. Maybe I'm overstating this, but it was a hands to the face call by Byron Jones. And so Byron Jones was
over. I know exactly which play you're talking about.
Yeah, he was over on the Dallas Cowboy sideline, lined up over on that side of the field. And it was a third down play, and I think it was like third and 15. And you know, the Dallas Cowboy defense held them, and they end up going on to score on this drive, but they would have been off the field. But on the other side, and if you go back and look, Jared Goff was not even looking on that side. It was the one receiver side, and what happened was Byron Jones went to get his jam, and his hand came up and got his face mask. And then, you know, he tried to bring it back down. They called a penalty on that. And I think that they need to be better about how much did that really affect, you know, that play. It really didn't affect that play at all. At all. Do you think that that's because it's a safety thing? Is that what they're talking about? Because I've never seen anybody get injured by getting their face mask jammed. Otherwise, they would stop running backs from doing that. Because and Moyer complains about this all the time when we're up in the booth watching the game. You know, you're a tackler coming up, your hands are down, and you're getting ready to wrap him up, and he can just jam you right in the face mask, the running back can. That's hands to the face. That's much more dangerous than, you know, a guy pass rushing or whatever. But you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of, there's a three-way stop sign in our neighborhood, and I'd say 95 times out of 100 when I pull up to it, there's no other cars. Nobody coming straight ahead, nobody to the left, nobody behind me. And so I roll through that stop sign every once in a while. But should I get a ticket for that? I just think that's ridiculous. You have rules, but, you know, if you are enforcing them that tightly, I just think that, you know, what harm was that really doing? Like me rolling through that stop sign. What is that really doing? I mean,
I guess the counter argument to that would be that it's a slippery slope, that if you allow that, you're going to allow it in other situations. The secondary argument would be that, hey, if you start doing that, then will you do it if you see another car there and they're already going through and then you won't stop? And then it's better to just have that as the standard. And you need to follow that rule. And we're not going to have penalties. We're going to have the penalty based on the behavior, not on whether or not the quarterback was looking on that side.
Well, and I didn't see the play, Dave, but if you were a Rams fan, would you have been upset if they hadn't have called it?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't?
If it depends on the kind of person you are. And I don't know if this is something that's an epidemic or whatever, but we get this all the time, like on the text toy. People love to point out when you did something wrong. And last week, I mentioned Kareem Hunt, and it was just about the running game. And I got a text from the 253 or whoever was like, you know, you shouldn't be mentioning his name or glorifying him because he's an abuser. And we all saw the video and everything. And I'm like, I wasn't even thinking about that. But technically, yeah, I guess I was talking about how he was a good player. So, I mean, I just feel like we're in this finger pointing, correct everyone. Sort of society now where it's like, that's wrong. And, you know, people are so eager to, you know, and I wonder if that's something maybe the NFL realizes that, you know, people like to point the finger and call somebody out when they've done something wrong. And, you know, maybe that's bleeding over. And is that what our society is kind of about now? It felt like that to me. And, you know, and there was a number of plays where, and the same thing happened in the Saint,
Eagles game where Douglas, it was also away from the play. Drew Brees was looking to the other side, and he kind of hooked the guy a little bit around the helmet, but then let go, and they called it. And I'm just like, yeah, technically that is not something you're supposed to do, but if it's away from the play, if you're in the middle of nowhere and it's a four-way stop sign and you roll through it, are you really going to start issuing tickets for that?
Boy, that's a tough one, though, because
it really matter?
A judgment call, though, and that official, I imagine they've got the tape on it and they're going over it. They're having a review. If he hadn't have called it, the head of officiating might have said, hey, Joe, you should have called that one, because technically by the letter of the law, it sounds like the way you're describing it, that it was a foul.
But that's what Dave is saying, is that's what's happening. Whether or not it's happening through the overt actions of the league in how they're reviewing guys, but we're starting to call everything. And I'm intrigued by that argument, Dave, like that, because I think there's too many penalties called. And I think how people are watching football is now also keyed onto what penalties are being missed. Were we as attuned to missed face mask penalties 15 years ago as we are now?
Mm-hmm. No, I wish they'd go back to the 5-yard and the 15-yard.
Anytime right. You see it now, and it happened yesterday in the Patriots-Chargers game, anytime you see a face mask that doesn't get called, you not only see the players gesturing toward it, you hear the fans reacting, and there's the feeling that this horrendous officiating mistake has been made because they didn't get that specific play right. I think there's probably more errors in football officiating than any other sport, because there's essentially 11 one-on-one matchups.
Right.
A lot of times, or at least 7 one-on-one matchups. You could probably call illegal contact on every pass play.
Yeah.
Because there's probably a defender getting in the way or somehow bumping into an offensive player more than 5 yards downfield on every pass play. When do you decide it? And I hadn't thought about that, of there being some satisfaction that people get from saying, yep, see, you interfered with it. The third down conversion by penalty is lame.
Do you think with illegal contact, if it's third and 10, if you get a 5-yard penalty, it should be third and 5 then?
There's definitely times that I feel that way, yeah. That you shouldn't get an automatic first down for that.
That one stood out to me because it was so glaring. I want to say that they were... It's like 3-by-1 as far as the receivers. There was one over on that side and 3 over on the other, and Goff was looking that way. And there was a pick play that the Saints got away with on that same drive that didn't bother me. Like, I would much rather see a team get away with something, because I feel like a lot of it is so petty, unless it's glaringly obvious where, you know, a guy runs past you and you drag him down because it's like, look, I'll take this over a touchdown. That's fine, but if it's a little tic-tac penalty, like Russell Wilson got face masked on one of those sacks against the Cowboys, I did not have a problem with that because he's going to get sacked either way. And so, you basically shouldn't get out of a jam because of some little technicality. And that's where, to me, I wonder, again, I always talk about this. I love the NFL officials. They're all great dudes. I got a chance to talk to them this year when they were clarifying some of the new rules. And they're the same type of guys that I knew. And it's not them. It's just what's coming down from the NFL.
I always think of Marv Levy. You over-officious jerk. Wasn't he the one that said that on the sideline? Exactly. It is Danny David Moore. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, the prize of this free agent class. Why haven't they signed? There's a C word that we're going to invoke. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Danny Dave and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
We'll get to the professor, figure out everything that's happened, his perspective on it over the weekend in the divisional playoffs, but... Baseball offseason is, this is usually the time of year where you'd start hearing a lot about big mega deals. Robinson Cano would have been signed. He was signed with the Mariners 5 years ago when that was the big sort of game-shifting contract in the offseason. And the two best players on the baseball market remain unsigned, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, two guys in their 20s who would figure to have record-setting contracts. And so far, it's not entirely crickets. You're starting to hear different things about guys closing in on deals. I believe the White Sox have been confirmed to have offered Manny Machado a contract, and the Phillies are interested in Harper, and there's still something. But there's something going on with baseball salaries. It started last offseason, and it's continuing this year. Free agents are not getting as much money as they would have expected.
Is it what's the C word, Danny?
Collusion. that owners have decided that they're paying these guys too much money, so they have a gentleman's agreement not to go over certain thresholds. I generally believe that the collusion does not happen because these guys would sell their own mother if it would get them more victories.
Yeah. To get you a championship?
Yeah.
Sure.
That they might tell you, like, oh, fine, yeah, we're not going to exceed that, and yeah, then I'm going to go money whip this guy.
Well, here's the, I totally agree, and I've always said exactly that, but why do we assume that they're in it together and that they like each other? I mean, because, I mean, if you're an owner, this whole, like, good old boys network, I think that's where that comes from. That notion that, oh, it's the good old boys, the billionaire club, and they're all going to hang out and, you know. And I feel like if you have that much money, aren't you, like, the most competitive SOB in the world if you're that kind of a player? And why would you not? I mean, I feel like it would be almost the opposite of that, that it would be the numbers would go up because they would be competing against one another to sign the guy and go, ah, look what I got.
Yeah, well, especially with these two guys, like Cano, when he came here, what was he, 29 or 30?
Mm-hmm.
And so 10 years for him, and then we started to think what the rest of the 10-year contract was going to be like, and it wouldn't be as good as certainly as the first 5 years. But these guys are only, they'll be 26 for their first year, so going through 36, you can make a case that they're going to be productive for the next 10 years. But I like that they're sitting out there right now.
Why?
Well, I wouldn't, for one thing, I wouldn't give Manny Machado a nickel. I wouldn't want him on my team for even a penny. After what he did to that Brewers first baseman, I just thought that was the biggest chicken bleep thing where he tried to injure that guy. And I just thought, okay, I got no, he just seems like a punk. I got no use for Manny Machado. I know he's a good player, and he would probably, you know, if DePoto signed him and they had this big fanfare, I probably could end up being a fan, but I'll never forget what he did to that guy. I just thought it was Bush.
Citizenship reasons, Manny Machado's out. Jim's out on him. But what about Bryce Harper?
Well, Bryce Harper, I'd be in on, but I still, the guaranteed money in baseball, it's just ridiculous. It's crazy. So what are these guys, what are they talking about, 25 or $30 million a year?
$30 million a year.
$30 million a year?
Does that bother you? Because, like, there's no salary cap.
No, true.
There was no penalty for, like, the Mariners to pay Robbie Cano, but it does end up bothering you. Like, wow, that's just a lot of dead money.
Well, Felix getting 27 this year.
That's the back end of it. Out of a contract everybody was excited about at the time. Here's my working theory on why it's happening. Because last year was the first year, I believe, on record where the average baseball salary stayed stagnant or went down. Like, it decreased slightly. Like, player salaries are not going up, even though revenues are, which is a puzzle. Like, every economist would sit there and, yeah, that's not really how it works, but baseball is it's a weird economic environment. It's not your normal economic field. My working theory is that teams have discovered or concluded that paying through the nose for one superstar player isn't worth it when it comes to the victories. That, like the Mariners, when they went out and bought Robinson Cano, that doesn't end up being enough. You can't spend enough for that to make the difference and put you over the top. That's my working theory.
Well, and last year, wasn't their record better without him than with him?
Yes.
So
that made no sense at all.
No, it didn't.
It was completely bizarre. Curtis, what do you think's going on in the baseball job market? You got average salary actually declined last year. Bryce Harper should be able to command. If Robinson Cano was worth $25 million, $24 million a year, Harper certainly should be worth $30.
Yeah, I think it's weird that it's teams also that aren't really in contending spots in the Phillies and White Sox who seem to have the most interest in Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, but it also seems like they're taking advantage of, I guess, of the division they're in where the White Sox are in the AL Central with a lot of bad teams, and the Indians are another team in that division that's trying to trim payroll, and the White Sox are like, hey, this is our best chance of competing. We don't have a lot on our payroll as is. Why not go out, get a superstar, and surround him with a bunch of his friends like Yonder Alonso, John Jay? I think that's what you see with the White Sox. The Phillies, they've got a lot of young pieces as well, but I think it's a lot of owners just sitting on a lot of money here and taking it home. I don't think they want to spend it. And I think it's better spent, like you said, on multiple guys rather than just putting it all on one guy. You see contracts like Albert Pujols, where the Angels are still tied up with his contract for at least, I think, three or four more seasons, and he's a DH and doesn't even have an on-base percentage above 300. I think teams are looking to avoid those kinds of pitfalls again, and I don't think you want to tie up your money in a decade plus of just one player.
It's interesting because it's the way the salaries have gone. This would be a year where you should be sort of urging the Mariners to make additions because good players are going for less than people expected, like Dozier's contract. Like, there's been good players that have been able to be purchased, and I find myself looking at it. I'm glad the Mariners aren't taking that route. I think that we've seen that it doesn't pay off for 10 years, but it seems like that's a route a lot of other teams are choosing as well.
Yeah, well, it's a tough one because I thought the Mariners were taking this reimagining and rebuilding and looking at 2020 or 2021 until they signed Kikuchi. And so if you wanted to, you could make a case for the Mariners signing Bryce Harper or Manny Machado.
Not after trading James Paxton, you can't.
Because I know. So but still, you talk about that window in 2020 or 2021, these guys will only be 27 or 28 that we're talking about when that time rolls around.
Yeah. What was Robbie going to be at the end of when he was signed? It was a 10-year deal.
40.
It's going to be 40.
You're going to get 40.
At least with Bryce Harper, he's going to be 36.
36.
I like Bryce Harper.
Just because he tried to fight, what was the kid's
Hunter.
Name? Hunter. Bryson Hunter.
Strickland.
Was your description, it was as good a fight as you can possibly have between a Bryce and a Hunter?
As much violence as you could expect between Bryce and Hunter.
It's Danny David Moore. We got the Professor John Clayton. He joins us next.